This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello and welcome to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Thank you for joining us. We're your hosts. My name is Marcy Davis, and my co-host is my amazing service dog, Fenway. And we are honored to be with you today to talk about our favorite subject, working dogs and working animals. And today we're welcoming two guests to the show, and they come to us from Courthouse Dogs Foundation. We have the Chief Executive Officer, Felicia Ocko, and the founder and current program director, Celeste Walson. So come right back after these quick messages as we welcome Felicia and Celeste to the show.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. We're so excited to have Felicia Ocko and Celeste Walson from Courthouse Dogs Foundation. Welcome, you two.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, well, I am so thrilled that you're with us and want to hear all about the amazing work that you're doing at Courthouse Dogs Foundation. You're one of our favorite programs. So, Celeste, tell us, how did Courthouse Dogs Foundation get started and what's your mission?
Oh, my goodness. This goes way back, Marcy.
Well, take us way back, Celeste.
Okay. Back in 2003, a prosecutor from Seattle, Washington, Ellen O'Neill Stevens, went to Canine Companions in Santa Rosa, California to get a service dog for her son. And while she was there, she was introduced to the concept of facility dogs. Now, while service dogs work one-on-one to help one person, a facility dog helps many people while handled by a trained handler. And Ellen brought this idea back to the King County Prosecutor's Office here in Seattle. And in 2004, the first dog ever in the world to do this work, Ellie, was placed with the prosecuting attorney as the first courthouse facility dog. And what these dogs do in the legal system is help reduce stress for vulnerable individuals during legal proceedings. The dogs sit with children during forensic interviews when a young child has to tell a detective about something terrible that's happened to them. And they also go to court, and in many states in the United States, they can sit in the witness box with the nervous witnesses and victims and help them tell their side of the story to the jury.
That's so beautiful. Oh, Celeste, thank you for sharing that and taking us back to 2003. You know, we just had one of your superstars, Tamara Martin, on the show talking about the wonderful work that she's doing with her statewide program in Alabama, which is just so fantastic that it's now on a statewide level. And so, Celeste, you were the CEO. When did you step down as CEO and become a program director?
Well, 6 months ago, we got him. I don't know exactly how we were this lucky, but we got Felicia to come on as a CEO. Felicia comes from a business background, and she knows a lot more than I do about the operations side of a nonprofit. So she's kind of taking care of that part of Courthouse Dogs Foundation now.
Well, that's wonderful. And Felicia, we're so glad that you've stepped into these big shoes and are taking that torch and running with it. Yeah, so tell us about some of the work that you're doing. How many courthouse facility dog programs really are there in the United States? And you guys work internationally. So yeah, tell us a little bit, Felicia, about the work that you're currently doing.
Well, it's a great question. We're actually, part of the work is trying to get our database caught up. But where we're at right now, we're at about 350 dogs in the United States, working dog teams, I should say. So it's the human and the dog. And then we're also in 8 other additional countries. And I think we've got about another 100 dogs out internationally.
Oh, that's fantastic. Celeste, can you believe that? 450 dogs?
It's actually very difficult for me to believe because I remember when we were excited that there were 5 dogs working.
Right? Right. Yes, yes. That's wonderful. Well, and so Felicia, tell us, how do you work with Assistance Dogs International?
Well, they're a very important partner for us. They really dictate the quality that we want, right? That's out there in the field. And that's especially important, as Celeste mentioned, right? We're working with a lot of children. So we want to make sure we've got the best dogs and the best training for those dogs. And so the ADI organizations obviously help make sure that, those standards and the accreditation happen. So we're really honored to be partners with them.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful partnership and so important, like you said, because of making sure you have that quality, because the dogs that you work with are in some of the most stressful and important processes in the whole criminal justice system, where victims are finally getting to have a voice and getting through the process that takes so long for so many to get through. So tell us a little bit more about the tasks that these dogs perform and what their jobs really entail.
Oh,
no pun intended. Yeah, with tail.
So many of our dogs work at child advocacy center agencies around the country, where they meet the child in the lobby and the child starts to know the dog and play with them some. And then they go into a forensic interview where a child has to tell someone he or she has never met before about the worst thing that's ever happened to them. And the dog can lie up on the couch and put their head in the child's lap while that's happening. And in many states, the dog can now go into forensic medical exams where a pediatrician or a sexual assault nurse is examining a child, and on into meet and greet with the prosecutor and accompany the child to the courthouse when they have to go to a hearing or a trial. These dogs also, some of them are handled by police officers so that they're out meeting victims when they first encounter the victim at a school or a hospital. And some of these dogs work totally in a prosecutor's office, so they're available to domestic violence victims that come to get a restraining order against someone they're afraid of. And they also accompany defendants during treatment courts. That is a court-ordered treatment program for someone who is struggling with drug addiction. And the dog makes it possible for that individual to engage much more fully with the treatment process when they come to the courthouse and they're going to be greeted by their favorite dog and get to take the dog for a walk before they go to court. It changes their entire engagement with the legal system.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it does. Yes. That's wonderful. I've had the privilege of seeing it in action, and it is awe-inspiring to see these animals at work in the system. It really, in the such difficult, as you said, Celeste, was some of the worst things that have ever happened to a child and hopefully ever will happen to them, that they have these amazing, amazing furry canines that can just change the energy so quickly in these super tense environments.
Yeah, I was just in a child advocacy center a couple of weeks ago, and they were telling me just even sometimes it's just getting them to go back, right? So just even initially building that trust, you know, when the child doesn't feel like they can trust adults, it's the dog that gets them to kind of go back to have the conversation. So it's just,
that's what I've read,
miraculous.
Felicia. That's, yeah, I've read that so many of these children don't complete the legal process because it is so taxing on them personally and traumatic. But because these dogs, they are. Do you have any data about that, about the
the statistics, or is that something you're looking at collecting of how the dogs impact the completion of the criminal justice process?
No, it's really difficult. A lot of these cases are quite private. And unfortunately, as a foundation, we don't get a lot of the data. I mean, I would love to get those numbers because I'm sure they're overwhelming, but
yeah,
it's pretty protected. So
yeah, I could see that.
But like you said, you see it once and you can tell.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Efficacy of it. Yeah.
Yes, it's like watching magic. Yeah, it is. It's like seeing magic. Yep, seeing behind the curtain and seeing the incredible, energy that's created. Well, tell us if there is like a child advocacy center that wants to get a dog and doesn't know anything, how can they work with your organization?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Marcy, because we welcome inquiries from child advocacy centers, from CASA organizations, from law enforcement agencies, from prosecutors. And what we do is help step them through the process, developing a job description for the dog and finding out who might be a good handler. And then we help them with the application process. They have to apply for a dog from an ADI accredited assistance dog school. And as you know yourself, Marcy, this is like adopting a child.
It sure is. Yeah. A very gifted child. Yes. Yeah.
It's a somewhat lengthy process, and we help them through that and then invite the handler to come to our conference and to come to our webinars so that they can use the dog in such a way that it doesn't disrupt from legal proceedings, but actually helps facilitate the fact-finding process.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful because like you said, Celeste, it is. It's a huge commitment and a long process that you really have to follow through. Yeah. For yourself, for your agency, and for the dog.
Lucky for the next little while, Celeste has got 2 decades of experience that we're tapping into. So she knows
right?
how to navigate this in such a beautiful way. So,
but it is, you do need that mentorship and that fairy godmother leadership to really help you to because it can be really daunting. And I see so many programs that don't do it because they don't have that and have access to your program. They don't know about it. That's why we're so happy to be spreading this word and the information so that people can reach out to you and have that wonderful, really guided, just that wisdom to help them so that they don't fall into all those mistakes and stresses. You really alleviate so much of that for programs.
I never thought of us as fairy godmothers. And right. Think of us that. I may have to remember that. Yeah. So hold on.
Yeah, that's really what it is. And you're guiding them through the forest. Yeah. Of how to come out. Yeah. With such a beautiful program that can have such an impact. Yeah. So do you have a waiting list or how do people engage with you, Felicia?
We actually have what we call our program list. So we just keep a running, working list that we're trying to follow up with folks as they come in, in the very beginning and help them throughout the process. It's just our way of kind of keeping tabs on where they're at and making sure that we're not forgetting about someone that might be out there and kind of needing some more help. So that's really how we organize ourselves.
And what is usually the time frame when someone comes to you before they get all the way to having their dog in service?
I think that can vary pretty drastically, but Celeste, what's been your kind of
right? Marcy, if I had to just average, I would say it takes about a year between the time when someone first has this idea that they would like to have a facility dog work in their office and when a fully trained dog comes to work for them. As you know, it takes about 2 years to actually raise and socialize and train the dog. And luckily, the assistance dog organizations are constantly doing this. But it takes a long time to apply and to get ready for the dog so that it can be done correctly.
I'm honestly surprised, Celeste, that a year, that's really fast. Because, because when I got my first service dog, it was 4 years for me as a person getting a service dog. So I'm thrilled to hear that it can be a year for these agencies because they need that year to really get themselves prepared mentally and physically for their site. So that's excellent. That's a really reasonable and healthy time frame, it sounds like. That's awesome.
Yes. And, you know, as you know, Marcy, there's a lot to having a working dog who is your partner every day, 24/7. So we yes. can help future handlers be prepared in all aspects of their life for what it's going to be like to have this new partner.
Well, that is excellent. And I want to hear more about that. We are going to take a quick break and hear some important messages from our sponsors that we love. And then we're going to come right back and continue visiting with Felicia Ocko and Celeste Walson from Courthouse Dog Foundation. So come right back.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. We're visiting before the break with Felicia Ocko and Celeste Walson from Courthouse Dogs Foundation. They were telling us about all the wonderful work that facility dogs are doing throughout the planet, not just in the United States, but all over. And Felicia, I know that you have a big vision for the future of Courthouse Dogs Foundation. So tell us about your plans for growth and what you and Celeste and the board see for the future.
Yeah, thank you for that opportunity. I think my vision is, having just seen the impact that these dogs have, and I'll just stay down to the individual, right? Because it's so impactful for every person that's able to utilize them. That my vision is huge, because I want everyone to be able to have that opportunity that wants it, right? And that's trying to navigate the justice system. So I was actually just talking with our board this last week, and, you know, we're trying to come up with something to post on social media. And what we came up with is, ultimately, we want to put these dogs out of work, because what that would mean is that there's no more abuse. There's no more bad things happening. Kids don't need these dogs to tell their story, right? Like, ultimately, we would love to have that. Is that the reality? Is that ever going to happen? Probably not in my lifetime, but it's a great goal to have, right? To put these dogs out of work. But until that time, we need more of them. We need them to be available, you know, throughout this country and really throughout the world. There's a huge case going on in France right now, and I'm just so glad that there's, you know, a very established team there that's able to help those almost 300 victims through that trial. So that is why this work is so important, and why we've got to grow even from the numbers where we're at. There's other people out there that need these dogs right now.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. 300. Oh my goodness. That, you know, we all need to really increase our awareness of the numbers of crime victims and the numbers of dogs that are needed to be with them. So I am so excited to hear about your vision. And it is true, we do want to work ourselves out of a job. But until then, you're right. We just need to make sure that everybody who wants it has access to this wonderful, wonderful service. I had the privilege of attending one of your conferences. That was so much fun. It was so informative, but it was also a whole bunch of fun to be with all of these incredible dogs and their handlers. So tell us about your conference and the one that you have coming up this year.
Yeah, I think it's been, you know, I'm fairly new to the organization, but I've attended a lot of conferences in my lifetime. What other time do you get to go to a conference and there's dogs there? I mean, it just
yes,
so amazing. This year, we're stepping out of the Northwest, though. They have historically been held here in the Pacific Northwest, and we're going about as far away as we can to Orlando, Florida, and it will be held September 5th, 4th and 5th, down at a beautiful hotel, and we're just so excited and want, you know, everyone that can come, especially those that are on the East Coast, right? We've traveled to make it more convenient, want to make sure that, you know, the handlers and folks that are interested on the East Coast and the Southwest are attending this year for sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be so much fun. And yeah, I'm so glad that you guys are traveling. I mean, I loved going to Seattle to your conference, but I do see how you would want to get out and get to other parts of the United States and even the world as you grow these services and this program. And one of the other things I love that you do is you provide some wonderful webinars that I also have had the opportunity to attend and have enjoyed every one that I've ever participated in. So tell us about your webinars and your educational activities that you offer throughout the year.
Right. We're really excited all this year and on into the foreseeable future. We've been offering Pause to Connect, P-A-W-S, Pause to Connect twice a month, which is a drop-in free service for everyone who handles facility dogs that are graduates from ADI organizations. And the topics every month vary really greatly from how to deal with it when your dog needs to retire. How are you going to bring in a successor dog? How are you going to tell the community about that? How do you fund your program? How do you manage your pet dog at home when he has to stay home and you get to go to work with your facility dog? So it's very much a handler-centered discussion twice a month. And we would love for other facility dog handlers to join us in that.
Yeah, well, I love it because it's just such practical information. Like you're saying, Celeste, with how to welcome a successor dog and facilitate that and with your current dog. And I love that you said with the community, because that's it. People recognize, they see me and they say, how's Lovey? They don't know my name at all, which is fine. And Lovey, as so many of our listeners know, is my retired service dog. But yes, transitioning her into that role and welcoming Fenway, that's really challenging sometimes. And to do that well and with guidance is so important. So I love that you're offering that in your webinars and how to manage a program, all of those practical things that can really help to move a program along so much faster than if they don't have that education. So it's so important. Yeah, love it. Well, I also want to ask both of you, and you can decide who goes first. What advice would you give to someone who is interested in starting a facility dog program, but doesn't really know where to go or where to start? What would you advise them?
Well, I'll go first. Mine's really simple. It's the Nike thing. Just do it. Like, don't think twice about it. Reach out to us. Celeste has all this, you know, information and just a lot of experience to help navigate, you know, the organization does, and these connection points that we allow, you know, folks to come in and be part of this community. So I would say just reach out, help, let us help you, and Celeste can be a little more technical.
Right. No, I think that's right about just jump in. We love to get a phone call before people have gotten very far down the path so that we can help them with the early steps, which is so important. And I think one of my first thoughts is to educate yourself about what is a facility dog? What is an ADI graduate dog like? How have these dogs been specially bred and socialized and trained and selected to do this work so that we have the right dog doing the right job? As you know, Marcy, it can be stressful for dogs to be a working dog. So we need to be sure to get the right dog with the right training behind him to do the work. And so we love to hear from people early in the process.
Yeah, that's so important, which is why I'm so glad that it is a partnership with Assistance Dogs International, because unfortunately there are a lot of programs or breeders out there that really aren't qualified. I've just got to be honest, they're really not in doing this work. It takes certain kinds of capacity and training and structure, all of that the Assistance Dogs International members have had to prove that they have in order to get accredited. So I do encourage people to really think about that for any kind of assistance dog, that they need to be from an accredited organization. Because you're right, Celeste, not every dog is meant to be one of these incredible dogs. It really takes so much specialty and training and breeding. Yeah, it's all a host of amazing things have to happen for the magic to occur. It really does. That's how I look at it. It does. It takes so many things.
A lot of work that goes into the magic.
It is. It is. And to sustain the magic, Yeah, to make sure that you have that. And that's what you guys provide with all of your wonderful training and support so that people can sustain it. Because that's another big piece. Getting it is one thing, but then sustaining it is a whole other.
It is. And agencies have to realize that when their handler gets a dog from an ADI organization, that organization provides oversight for the working dog for its entire life. So the handler will always be recertified at regular intervals, and they'll get advice. They'll get training advice and health advice so that their canine partner is as healthy and as effective as possible.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's wonderful. Well, one of the other things that you guys have that I have always really admired is your board of directors. You have a wonderful board. Tell us a little bit about them, Felicia.
They are wonderful. We're at a transitional point, though, where we've had several, just with our bylaws, need to roll off, including our wonderful board president, Carrie Lee. She just hit her term.
Oh, Carrie Lee. Oh.
I know.
Oh. Wow.
I wanted to say it wasn't going to happen, but we had to. So she's still in the wings helping us, which I really appreciate. But all that to say, we're in a rebuilding phase right now, and we just added three wonderful folks last quarter and did an onboarding session here in Seattle. And I'm super excited with the energy and just the skills that we've added to what has been a previous wonderful board. So I am still looking for folks to join us. We still have some open seats. So would love if anyone listening has interest in our organization and has some talent that they want to bring to our board. Definitely putting that out there as well, that we're looking for great folks to continue to join us.
Well, tell us, Felicia, what is the commitment for a board member so our listeners will know?
Yeah, it's that we have a 3-year commitment. So they're signing up to help us for 3 years. We have various skills that we kind of have them focus on. So for example, we just brought on Eric Thompson, and he's going to help us with fundraising. He comes with quite a bit of experience from other organizations and fundraising. And so we've kind of given him that focus to help us build up our expertise in that area.
Excellent. Well, that is exciting. And I'm sure that you have all kind of plans to put all of them to work. But you're right. I mean, you do have to cycle and grow. Yep. So I love that you do have that term limit, even though it's so hard to let wonderful people like Carrie Lee cycle off. But that's good. It's a good thing, because Carrie Lee can mentor and work with you to mentor the next generation of leaders, because you are growing so much and the industry is changing.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, that's excellent. Well, tell our listeners how they can get more information about Courthouse Dogs Foundation. Where can we find you on social media and online? Tell us.
I think the best place to find us is courthousedogs.org. There's a wealth of information. Celeste has built up over the 2 decades, and you know, a lot of the legal terms. You could meet the board there. It also has our social media. So to me, that's kind of the portal into all things Courthouse Dogs. I'll put a plug in. It's also where you can donate to help support us financially. That's always something that a nonprofit's looking for as well.
Perfect. And what about other social media platforms? Are you on Facebook, Instagram?
We are. We're on both of those. We're also on LinkedIn. So again, those connections can be made on our website.
Perfect. And I love to follow you on LinkedIn as well. Yeah, that's where I'm. I love the things that you post. Yeah, on all of your platforms. But I love that you're on LinkedIn. I think that's great to be connected to professionals in the criminal justice world, the dog world. Yeah, because you guys cross so many of those different industries.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Well, I cannot thank you two amazing pioneers enough for being with us. And we just are so excited about what you're doing, what you've done for the past few decades, and what you have planned for the future. It's very exciting.
Thanks, Marcy. Thanks for doing this podcast. I've listened to many of the previous episodes, and they're so entertaining and informational. You do a great job. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, we want you to come back and keep sharing with us. And like I said, we were thrilled to have Tamara Martin, one of your superstars, with us. So we're just so supportive of the work that you're doing, and just so thrilled to watch you from the sidelines and be a part of it. So thank you so much, both of you. And thank you, our listeners. We love hearing from you, and we love that you can join us. So please keep your emails coming. You know you can reach out to us at PetLifeRadio.com. And you know you can especially email me at Marcy, M-A-R-C-I-E, at PetLifeRadio.com. We love your questions, your comments, and your ideas for future shows. So please keep those coming. Thanks so much for being with us today. And we look forward to being with you again very soon. Take good care.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.